For the last two Lord's Days, we've been studying the great question. What is the theme of the Holy Bible? And we began our study with the problem of sin. That must be included in answering the great question. Then last Lord's Day, we continued our study by giving our attention to God's answer to the problem of sin. And that, of course, was the coming of the Messiah, as Genesis 3:15 was the first prophecy of Christ. Yes, the seed of a woman, the virgin birth of Mary, and God's promise to Abraham, through his seed all nations would be blessed. That's again the coming of Christ. And then we saw in Genesis chapter 49 the blessing that Jacob gave Judah. Yes, as a rest giver, as a law giver. That's prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so this week we want to conclude our study of this great question. Yes, what is the theme of the Holy Bible? And we want to go now to the last verse of God's Word. Yes, God's final words of revelation, and we will do just that in just a moment, Lord willing. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's in Martinsville, yes, sir. And what do in our Bible classes? Well, we study God's Word, the Holy Bible, of course. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with the proper attitude, in spirit, but also in truth. That is, according to the law of Christ, the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else to mention. We're always willing to have Bible studies with anyone. Yes, sir. And your comments, your Bible questions are always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And the office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get into our study to complete, wonderful study of what is the theme of the Holy Bible, I want to again make these announcements. First of all, coming up November the 7th, going through the 11th, is the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ Great Lectureship. There on Stop 11 Road, where it runs into Five Points. And this formerly was the Garfield Heights congregation. And they're a group of wonderful Christians. And I've always enjoyed being at the lectureships. And thankfully, to be invited. And what a great privilege that is to speak on the lectureship. Well, let me give you the time. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. and 11 o'clock, and then Sunday night, 5 p.m. and 6 o'clock. Now, Monday through Thursday, there will be lectures in the morning at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Go out for lunch, come back at 1:30 for an afternoon session, and then in the evening, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. So we hope you'll be able to make that. The theme, gifts from God, non-miraculous, and the requirement on our part, what we need to do as we are blessed to receive these gifts. So hope you'll be able to make that. Then following Thursday night, the 11th, beginning on the 12th of November, our gospel meeting here at Morgan Street begins Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday, 9:30, 10:30 in the morning, then a potluck lunch, and come back up 1 p.m. for the final sermon to conclude the gospel meeting. Who is our speaker? Brother Mark Day from Flatwoods, Kentucky, and he can shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. So we hope you'll make your plans to be here for our gospel meeting. Now, let's get back to our study as we're answering the question, what is the theme of the Holy Bible? And we're going to Revelation 22:21, as these are God's final words of revelation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So how does God close out his holy word? With his love extended to us by his grace coming through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, because of suffering and severe persecution down through the ages, so many people, sad to say, have questioned God's love and mercy. Well, you know, the book of Revelation, the Revelation, that's singular, not plural, is primarily written to Christians who were being severely persecuted. Some take the early date, so that would be Jewish persecution. My view is the late date, towards the end of the first century. Thus, this would be a persecution from the evil Roman government. But whichever view you take, the persecution is severe. Now, the Christians who were slain for the word of God and for obedience to the law of Christ are pictured asking a question concerning their vindication. Not revenge. I need to emphasize that. Not revenge, but vindication. Revelation 6, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That's what they were pictured asking. These are the martyred saints under the altar. And God answered their question by bringing judgment upon Rome, the seat of corruption, in the powerful Roman Empire. Revelation 18:20, rejoice over her. Notice that. Over her, thou heaven, and ye holy angels and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now in Revelation 19, verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, or harlot, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. My view is that that's speaking of Rome, pictured as a great harlot, sitting on seven hills, which Rome did. Sin will be punished. Yes, and the righteous shall be rewarded. The righteous shall be victorious and will be going home forevermore when the Lord comes again. Now notice with me Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Is that not a great comfort to faithful Christians in the Lord's church, looking forward to eternity and being with God forevermore? Yes, we can take great comfort if we are remaining faithful in the Lord's church. Now, I want us to emphasize here and really get this into our minds, because it's a key word to the book of Revelation. And if you keep that in mind, it's going to really mean a lot in not only understanding the Revelation, but also being encouraged and applying this message to today. And that's One word is simply this: overcometh. Yes, the victory belongs to the faithful in Jesus and his church, even if it means a Christian's death, even if it means my death. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, Jesus said. That's a promise. And so I must overcome all the things that would hinder me from remaining faithful, even if it meant my death. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now let's notice together, in all seven letters to the churches of Asia, the word overcometh. Yes, in all seven letters. And this begins in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 as well. So note, Revelation 2:7, this is the inspired letter to the church of Christ at Ephesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life was lost here on the earth as paradise, you know, Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise. And thus they would not have access to the tree of life. No one on this earth has access to get to that tree of life. It's not there anymore. And so where is it now? Well, it's in heaven, in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, chapter 2, verse 11. This is to the church of Christ at Smyrna. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. This church did not have any negative statements from Christ at all. So that's a wonderful study of the church of Christ in Smyrna. Let's go on. Still in chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, we're seeing that word in every letter. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Yes, this is to the church of Christ at Pergamos. And we want to be sure that we're able to eat of the hidden manna. Yes, sir. And we must overcome to do that. Verse 26, still in chapter 2, this is to the church of Christ at Thyatira. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. We need to overcome and keep God's word. Now, on to chapter 3, verse 5, and this would be the church of Christ at Sardis. And it was a dead church, by the way. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We want to be sure that we're not blotted out of the book of life, and we must overcome. And if we do that, clothed in white raiment, we're going to be with our name in the book of life. Now notice verse 12 in chapter 3. And this is to the church of Christ at Philadelphia. And again, nothing negative here was said by our Lord. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Yes, that's heaven being spoken of. But again, we must overcome. And now finally, the last letter, verse 21 of chapter 3, the Church of Christ at Laodicea, which made the Lord sick. They were neither hot nor cold, and so he would spew them out of his mouth if they don't repent. He that overcometh shall inherit. No, wait a minute. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That's, again, to this Church of Christ at Laodicea. And again, you're seeing the word overcometh in all seven letters. And notice, and I jumped ahead almost there, Revelation 21, verse 7 is what I had in mind. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So again, that key word, overcometh. All of us are facing trials, tribulations, and temptations in this life. Some more severe than others when it comes to persecution. But if we're living godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. That's what the Word of God tells us, does it not? So, as we are answering the question, what is the theme of the Holy Bible? It certainly should include Revelation chapter 5. Let's go now to Revelation chapter 5, which reveals a scroll written on both sides with seven seals. Now, what does the scroll represent? Well, it should be obvious in my thinking that this would represent God's eternal plan of redemption, which God the Father purposed in God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God. God the Son sent forth God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to reveal the truth. The apostles were promised, yes, when the Comforter would come, they would have a remembrance of all that Jesus taught them. Yes, and they were speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so, as we look at chapter 5 here, the eternal purpose for man's redemption was in the mind of God from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. And salvation from sins must be in Christ. So that's certainly going to be included, isn't it? As we think about what is the theme of the Holy Bible, we are able to overcome the world today too because of the Lamb of God. He has prevailed. He was able to open the scroll with the seven seals. As you see in Revelation 5, verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. This is speaking, the elders were speaking to John, who is the inspired writer, the apostle John. It's not necessary to weep, as he was weeping because no one could open the scroll, but there is someone that can open the scroll. So weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember, we talked about that last Lord's Day. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only one that could fulfill the eternal purpose of God involving the plan of redemption. That's right. And this is vitally important to everyone, is it not? To understand, yes, as we are in the final study here of answering that great question, what is the theme of the Holy Bible? And we see as God closes out his final revelation here in the Revelation, the book of Revelation. It closes with God the Father reigning on the heavenly throne, with God the Son reigning at his right hand. And God the Holy Spirit can be heard extending the gospel call. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We're not forced. We're not made to obey the gospel. We're free moral agents. We have the right to make our choice. But why would we not want to choose to take the water of life freely and have eternal salvation and not die in our sins and be cast into the lake of fire? Shouldn't be a difficult choice for us. What choice have we made? Have we obeyed the gospel? Or are we being stubborn, obstinate, thinking we know what's best? We're going to make our own way. Well, where's that way going? It's going into the fires of hell. We better make the right choice. Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, what are we going to do with that invitation? Now, I want to emphasize this before we close out our study. Let us never take for granted the grace of God. Unmerited favor. We do not deserve to be saved. We do not deserve the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We do not deserve that. Of course not. So never take for granted the grace of God that allowed that to happen. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There it is. So let us really think seriously about the following questions to help us never, never, never take for granted God's wonderful grace. Question number one, what if Jesus had not become flesh in order to die for our sins? That's a horrible thought. Well, that question needs to, you know, help us, stir us to realize the importance of the fact that he did become flesh and did die for our sins. But had he not, we would be hopelessly doomed to the fires of hell. Question number two, what if Jesus had not arose from the grave? There again, there would be no salvation. Satan would have triumphed. But thankfully, up from the grave he arose. Yes, on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the day the church began in Jerusalem, and Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, the day that Christians are to gather together to worship God. Yes, that's the very day that Jesus did arise from the grave. But if he had not, again, we would have been doomed to the fires of hell. Question number three, what if we did not have the Holy Bible today? Can you imagine a world without the Word of God? It's bad enough as it is. So many people do not follow God's Word. But if there was no Holy Bible, then there would be no Christians. There would be no influence for good. And it would be like in Noah's day, except for those eight souls, the rest of the world was thinking continually on evil. Continually. So let us think about these questions, because certainly if that was the case, we would all have no hope of eternal salvation. So yes, we do have the Holy Bible today. Let's utilize it and let's appreciate it. As we've answered the question, what is the theme of the Holy Bible? Yes, it's the problem of sin and God's answer to the problem of sin. And we've learned from Genesis 3:6 to Revelation 22:21, the second person of the Godhead, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, became the seed of a woman, Genesis 3:15, and the seed of Abraham, Genesis 12:3. He is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, Genesis 3:15, chapter 49, verse 9, John 1:29, Revelation 5:5. He is the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, Galatians 6:2. Yes, and he is the Prince of Peace, the rest giver, and the King of Kings with all authority, Genesis 49:9 and 10, Matthew 28:18, Colossians 3:17. And let's close with this. Why did Jesus become flesh and blood? John 1:14, to die in our stead and to provide the only remedy for the problem of sin. That's why we all should know that. So, have we responded to God's grace by obeying the gospel and living faithfully? If not, why not? What is preventing us from doing what's best for our eternal salvation, preparing for eternity, as we've named the program, is the most important thing we can be doing. And if we have obeyed the gospel, are we remaining faithful by overcoming? Remember that key word, overcometh. Yes. Are we overcoming the fiery darts of Satan and the trials that we're facing? We must, in order to maintain our salvation in the Lord's church. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel that is of the age of accountability and understands what the plan of salvation is giving forth in God's word, what we are to do in order to become a child of God. First of all, we have to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. The next step is to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, John 8:24. Now that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent, making a change of wills. We're going to do God's will, not our own, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And the next step puts us into Christ, being buried into the death of Christ by being under the water, baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And we thank you so much for listening today.